Hello, I am Isawellen, and this is Isawellen Writes Grown-Up Storytime, the podcast where I read my current works in progress, as well as from other selections, and we also have a little bit of chit-chat and wine time about the writing process and books that I love. Thank you so much for joining me today. Today is Valentine's Day. Hello, how are you? I am Isawellen. I know I already had the intro, but when I don't listen to it, even when I'm, you know, whatever. Right? Right? Come on, right? So this is Isninamunu. No. This is Isawellen's grown-up story time. And if you have been listening, you know that I am pausing my work in progress reads of the story Caught to work on a few other things. Some of the stuff I'm working on today actually has nothing to do with that. I'm doing quite a bit of social media. I'm all over Facebook and Twitter. I need to make one planned post and then I need to step away for a little bit, see if I can set the phone and the computer down. I laugh at myself. I would like to invite you to subscribe so you get, if you subscribe via the Podbean app or any other really app and you have that open so that you get notifications such as iTunes or the Google Play or even Spotify, then you'll be notified whenever I come on and do a podcast. That's always great because I don't have a specific time. I'm a bad, naughty podcaster. Naughty, naughty. I like to podcast on Wednesdays when I can and Fridays, but I do not have a specific time because I am just a woman with a microphone, very unprofessional and casual. So it will help you know what is happening if you subscribe and like and all of that, and then you'll get notifications. That's one thing. The next thing is, I was laying in bed thinking last night, oh my gosh, I have said some stuff. I am seriously considering going back and re-recording some of the poorly recorded, poorly podcasted versions of Caught that were too quiet to hear, that were difficult for hearing, as well as editing out some of our more intimate and revealing conversations. So I want to invite you now to listen to those now, because as I have time, that is on my to-do list, go back and edit. When I repost those, if I repost them, it'll be, I'm not sure quite how that'll work. Also, I post work directly to my website, isawellenwrites.blogspot.com. I am reading Finding Her Luck there out loud, chapter by chapter. There is a whole page dedicated to it, so that if you are interested in listening to that, you could call up my website and just listen to it all day long and in one day in like an audiobook. I am reading it, and I am very, again, just imperfect. Done is better than perfect, right? So there are days when I think, oh, this is so awesome. And then I go back and listen to it, and I'm like, oh, you sound like you're reading Where the Wild Things Are. So I am going to attempt now. I'd like to invite you. I have a special treat for you. I have been given permission to read Merrill Pierce's Claiming His Mushka, Claiming His Mouse, which is a short story you can get if you subscribe to her newsletter, if you haven't read it already. It is an Omegaverse story. It is a Russian mafia Omegaverse story, short story, and it comes after it's standalone, but very loosely connected to the world of December Sacred of Magus, her one of her books. So I've been given permission to read aloud, and here we go. Chapter 1. Aslan stared out across the club floor blankly, one elbow propped on her knee, a fist beneath her chin. She felt the vibrations of the sound system, saw the flashing lights and dancing bodies, but all she heard was a dull throb of white noise. Of course, that was because she'd turned off the tiny digital hearing aids nestled in her ears. Whenever Byrne requested she make an appearance at one of these meetings, the first thing she did was shut off the devices that allowed her to hear. Most of the time, no one spoke to her once they started discussing business anyways. She was just a showpiece, a pet Omega of the Asbury Syndicate. Omegas being so rare, she was little more than a status symbol for the Alpha who ran the show. She hated the club. It was too loud, far too much stimulation for someone more comfortable living in a world of near silence. Born 95% deaf, Aslan had grown accustomed to the quiet. In her early years, it had been her only solace. When Byrne presented her with the little high-tech earbuds some 3 years before, it had been to make things easier for himself, not to help her. It had been a half an hour since he made her switch off, when an elbow on the ribs drew her attention to the Alpha at her side. Her gaze slid cautiously his direction, relieved when the burly man tapped his ear suggestively. She hoped this meant he was done with her for the night. She was never ready for the rush of noise that assaulted her each time she pressed the tiny buttons. A visible wince, pursed lips, a knit brow, there was always some sign of her distress. She tried to minimize her reactions in mixed company, knowing how much it displeased Byrne for her to look sour. She was his little fresh-faced sweetheart. He wouldn't tolerate her looking grim. Task accomplished, she gave the Alpha her full attention, only now noticing that most of his companions had gone. "I have another meeting, a Thiasi. You will stay for it as well." She dipped her head in acknowledgement, but the man frowned. "Use your words, sweet. I didn't pay for those lessons so you could nod your head at me when I'm talking to you." Aslan hated talking. She disliked the sound of her own voice. Her words felt blunt and dull on her tongue, rounded at the edges where other people's were crisp and sharp. The speech therapy classes had helped, but she still thought her ability to converse was weak. In her opinion, people talked too much about nothing. No one really needed her words. Byrne always insisted, though. "How long?" The Alpha's expression soured as he sat back, lifting his arm to signal a waitress. "As long as I want you to, Aslan. Why? Do you have somewhere to be?" The question was rhetorical. They both knew she wasn't allowed to go anywhere without his approval or permission. "Just tired, Alpha," she supplicated with a yawn. "You'll live." "When are they coming?" "Any time, so be ready to turn off your ears and look sweet. This Russian can be a real prick from what I hear, so don't make eye contact or draw attention to yourself. Understand?" "I understand." Only the wealthy and dangerous could hold on to an Omega in this city when they were so rare and sought after. Byrne having her at his side was a symbol of just how formidable he was. But it was still a risk to have an Omega in the presence of another powerful Alpha. "Can I use the bathroom first?" He waved her off, his casual dismissal serving as her permission to go. Grateful, she rose from the sofa and smoothed the skirt of her dress, a sapphire-colored 50s-style swing dress that Byrne loved, before making her way across the floor. She wove in and out through gathered patrons, heading for the stairs leading up to Byrne's office. She wasn't allowed to use the bathroom on the main floor. "Too much traffic," he said. She didn't mind. The bathrooms were abysmal down here in the club. She was almost to the foot of the stairs when a much larger shoulder collided with hers, knocking her back a step and upsetting her balance. Aslan squawked in surprise, arms flailing, as the jolt nearly tipped her off the sparkling black pumps she'd been made to wear. Before she could fall, two large, strong hands closed around her biceps. Her arm shot out to grab at the sleeves of his suit, instinctively holding on for dear life as she teetered on unsteady feet. "Be easy, Mwishka. I've got you." A shiver skated down her spine, goosebumps rising across her skin at the sound of his voice. Husky, heavily accented, confident. She knew he was Alpha before she ever raised her head to look at the man before her. She let her eyes travel up the length of his chest to his face, nostrils flaring as she drew in his scent. When she inhaled, she smelled expensive cologne and fine cigars. Beneath the masking layer of odors, she detected hints of his natural musk, cinnamon, and black pepper. It tickled her nose. He was a gorgeous specimen. Dark hair, piercing green eyes were only the frosting on the cake. He was beautiful in the way a prowling lion is beautiful. It was a type of beauty best admired from a safe distance. With the corner of his mouth turned up in amusement, her attention was drawn to a set of full, kissable lips. Her eyes lingered there, wondering if they were as soft as they looked. The rumble of his throaty chuckle shook her from her thoughts, embarrassment coloring her cheeks as she forced herself to meet his gaze. "Do you see something you like, little one?" "No!" His eyebrow arched at her hastily given answer, his smile widening into a dazzling grin. "Is that so? I... Aslan's stomach dropped. A nervous glance sent her shoulder towards where Byrne was sitting on the other side of the dance floor. No one was allowed to touch her. Anyone who frequented the club knew that. The man wasn't from around here. "I'm sorry, I have to go." He released her, Aslan's own hand sliding free of his jacket as his arms fell away. She took the opportunity to step back, putting the requisite distance between them needed to keep her from getting in trouble or him killed. "I didn't mean to startle you. Please accept my apologies." She nodded, sidestepping the man and scurrying up the stairs before he had a chance to speak again. Halfway up, she dared a glance back and found him still standing there where she left him, watching her ascent. Dark eyes held her gaze, so magnetic that it took three whole steps for her to pry her eyes away and seek refuge in Byrne's office. Whew! She shut the door, twisting the lock before hurrying to the bathroom to do her business. She couldn't allow herself the luxury of thinking about the brief encounter. Byrne would be angry if she were gone too long, and the last thing she needed was the smell of her interest and arousal alerting him to the fact that something had happened. Aslan wasn't immune to her Megan instincts, an attractive alpha in her space, purring and smelling sexy, was hard to ignore. But that's what she had to do. With a groan, she forced her mind from him. A few minutes later, she freshened up and left the office, scanning the crowd below as she descended to the main floor. She didn't see the man she bumped into. While she knew she should be grateful, disappointment snuck in to darken her mood. She let the thought go, chiding herself for being so foolish. If Byrne knew what she'd spared another man a second thought, he'd make sure she couldn't sit down for a week. Aslan was nearly back to their booth when she froze mid-step. Through a gap in the crowd, she could see Byrne talking with a man seated opposite him. The man she was very familiar with, as she'd run into him only moments before. Shit! She hadn't put two and two together in that moment. That accent, the business suit, she should have realized this was the Russian Byrne was meeting with. Byrne said not to draw attention to herself, but she'd already done it by slamming into the man on the way to the bathroom. Now she was nervous. If the man told Byrne, he would punish her, even though it was an accident. She let another alpha touch her, and that was unacceptable. Her shoulders slumped as she resumed her trek, knowing there was no point in putting it off. He'd just send someone after her if she took too long, and her punishment would be worse. And that is the end of chapter one from, let me just make sure I read it correctly, Claiming His Mwishka by Meryl Pierce. I'm going to see if I can find the links for this to sign up for her newsletter so that you can read it if you have not already. It is a fantastic little read. I quite enjoy it. I enjoy any Omegaverse, but I kind of like her. I'm partial to Meryl's writing. So she is one of the, her book is one of the first that I ever read before I got published. There, you know, because there's really only a handful of Omegaverse out there. The other thing I wanted to say was, In My Hands Audio has agreed to do some work for me. So I sent him another Dare piece. This one is actually taken from the beginning of the book of Her Broken Alpha. I have rewritten the scene so that it is in first person. In the book, everything is in second person, and so that it is Monster's point of view, and I've taken out any dialogue that Naya, he says it different, and I like how he says it better, so that's how we're going to say it from now on. Naya, I think. In My Hands Audio has a Canadian accent, and so he says the, and with French influences. So we're going to say it his way from now on. I'm just that flexible, people. I just don't care. Done is better than perfect, and I like the way he says it. So, but he's agreed to read more, and I am going to be able to share that with you as teasers from the book. I just want you to know that these are not actual clips read. This is not narration, direct narration. This is written specifically so that it is more role play, more characterization, more just different. I don't really want, you know, the audiobook, because I think he sounds, in my head, him reading Dare, I've said this before, is incredible. Him reading Naya, not so much. And since the book switches back and forth between point of views, it just wouldn't work for me. So this is specially written for you guys as a gift to my readers, as a tease to my new readers. If you are a new listener to the podcast and you just read Choosing Her Alpha, I want to say thank you so much. And you looked at the end of that book and you saw Merrick's epilogue and you're like, is Merrick the next book? I just want to take a minute to explain that if you're new. So I had written Choosing Her Alpha, and then I was going to rewrite Merrick's book, but Merrick was still kind of whiny and selfish in my head. I needed him to mature a little bit. I needed some time away from who he was at the time of that book. And so he goes into Sector 2, and that sector is ran by his brother, instead of the administration. It's governed by his brother, who is Nathaniel Dare. Now, the way that sectors work, each sector has its own governor, administrator. That administrator is always an alpha, and he has to win his place in some kind of battle. There are lawyers and lawgiver alphas that an alpha has to prove himself on top of the alpha pile one way or another to be given any kind of leader position. And it doesn't really matter what industry they live in. It's might makes right. It's strongest. It's fittest. Battle of the fittest. And so Nathaniel Dare won his position, even though his father is king. And then, because they are autonomous in their position for the most part, like a small country, he went on to change his sector in a way that he thought more truly reflected the alpha morality that he had learned from his father. Oh my goodness, a garbage truck. So I accidentally left the window open. I'm going to sign off. Thank you guys so much for listening. And have a great day.